Happy anniversary.
This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Shade.
Woo!
Okay, kia ora. How's it going, Sam?
Good.
Yep. Kia ora, man.
Kia ora. How's it going?
So excited that you chose this.
No problem. I couldn't not. I mean, it's turning 25.
Oh, yes.
So, today we're going back to 1992 to take a look at the fourth studio album by British R&B, soul, smooth jazz, sophistopop group Sade.
Mm-hmm.
Love Deluxe is the name of the album. And like I said, it's turning 25. So just a bit of background, I guess, firstly on Sade. So they were formed in 1982. And of course, the name, face and singer of this group is the amazing Sade Adu, of course. And she was born in Nigeria, but moved to the UK with her family when she was four. And the other members of the band, we can't forget them either. They're pretty important too. We had Paul Denman on bass, we had Andrew Hale on keyboards, and Stuart Matthewman on guitar and saxophone. And they were formed predominantly out of a Latin soul band, which Sade and two of the other members came from initially. And they released their first record, very famously, Diamond Life, in 1984, which was an immediate success for them. It went to number two and produced, of course, very famous hits like Smooth Operator, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with this early success, they were pretty much established throughout the 1980s within this kind of smooth jazz / R&B scene, which was given two genre labels, which I'm going to talk about. The first one was Sophistopop. I'm not sure if you've heard that term before.
No.
And the second one was called Quiet Storm.
Mm.
And these are very interesting genre labels. I love talking about genre.
I've never really heard of a Quiet Storm.
No. Well, these two terms are pretty much redundant now. You don't really hear much about them. They were kind of within the context of the 80s, and they kind of were there to reference the style of kind of slick, smooth R&B.
Mm.
So, firstly, Sophistopop. Basically, it was a term given to groups like Sade, The Style Council, even early Everything But The Girl by the music press.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, any artist who incorporated sort of jazz elements into their music combined with soul and pop, and with this very polished, slick kind of horn arrangements, bit of piano, that kind of thing, and very sophisticated, hence the name Sophistopop.
Sophisticated, horny arrangement.
Exactly. I guess you could call it that,
yeah. Sophistopop.
Sophistopop. Very much radio-friendly, almost high society-like kind of thing. And it was very much, I would say, probably a middle-class style of R&B. And it crossed over into a lot of kind of radio-friendly kind of formats and stuff. Some of it was really corny, but a lot of it was very musically credible, like Sade.
Yes.
And, it's a term which is pretty redundant now. I mean, you don't hear people saying, oh, I'm going to release a Sophistopop album. I mean, even back then.
Oh, well, maybe, you know, there's some listeners out there who
might
be...
Well, you could make a comeback. Bring it back.
Sophisticated for some Sophistopop.
I'm pretty sure the artists themselves hated this term. I mean, they wouldn't call themselves Sophistopop, like a lot of genre labels.
Well, I mean, it has fist right in the middle of the word.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fist is not necessarily the best kind of word.
And the second term, which was also given by...
It's catchy, though.
This was given to the music by a radio DJ in the States, Quiet Storm. And this term, it was predominantly American. I mean, it was kind of given to people like sort of late 70s Marvin Gaye and sort of Luther Vandross type stuff.
Mm.
But it also crossed over to the UK to kind of look at people like Sade's music. And I find this term even more ridiculous than Sophistopop. I mean, I only found out about it last year. But again, it's a very radio-friendly term. It's a bit like urban.
But it sounds kind of dweeby, though.
It's very dweeby.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really suggest anything about music. Like, what the hell is Quiet Storm supposed to mean?
Quiet Storm is someone getting very creative and probably feeling some feels as well.
Yeah. But again, it's this kind of slick, seductive R&B mixed with jazz, mixed with pop kind of thing.
Mm.
Plenty of slow grooves, relaxed rhythms, often quite sexualized lyrics.
Often. Oh, I hadn't noticed.
but again, it's another one of those terms that you really don't hear anymore.
Yeah.
Which is probably a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, probably.
So Sade was, they fitted within these kind of genre labels, even though really they had nothing to do with the music. And obviously the music Sade was making was a kind of a mixture of R&B, soul, jazz, Latin, and even Nigerian music as well. I mean, you cannot deny, particularly here on this album, the kind of African influence that Sade herself brought to the music as well, particularly in the percussion and the drums as well. And you'll definitely hear that on here. So let's play a song.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. So we're going to start with the opening track and lead single off the album. This track's called No Ordinary Love. And this is quite sort of trip-hop sounding. Of course, trip-hop was taking off at the time as well. There's a bit of a pulsating beat in the background there. And you can get a feel straight away, I guess, for the slick nature of this record. And this is one of the group's signature songs, and it actually won a Grammy Award in 1994 for Best R&B Performance.
Oh.
What's going on?
I don't know. It's being... Oh, you know what I've done? I've plugged in the wrong plug because... Oh. Can you just pass the burly over here, please?
I will pass the burly.
You know, you're doing such an incredible job.
Oh, no, this is building suspense. This is good.
This is totally building suspense. We've had a couple of texts in as well.
Oh, lovely. We love the correspondence.
Sweetest Taboo had the lyric, "There's a quiet storm." Okay, well, that's a good point.
That's perfect, yeah.
And also, what the F has Top 40 Sade got to do with BFM? Stink. Well, whatever, dude. And then also there's a very positive one. Man, she is smoking hot. I mean that in a nice way. Well, we mean it in a nice way too. And we're about
got
to
everything
play
to do with BFM.
We're about to play this wonderful song. There's a lot of chords around here up at the studio today, but I finally found the right one.
Thank you.
still my beating heart.
So smooth.
Oh, I'm like...
It's perfect for a Monday morning, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm transported into a tranquil place.
A very tranquil place.
Hope you're enjoying this at home. Text in 5395 if you've got any...
We're getting some great correspondence in.
Yeah, we are actually. And it's interesting because there has been a slight criticism about Shade being too commercial for BFM. But you had something very interesting to say about that, didn't you, Sam?
I basically said just because something was in the top 40 doesn't mean it's bad.
No.
Like a lot of top 40/commercial people have appealed to alternative audiences and vice versa. A lot of alternative acts become popular and, you know, sell truckloads of records. Just look at Radiohead Massive Attack. They're both alternative groups that were commercially successful. And Sade was, as a critically acclaimed artist, and was appealed to a lot of alternative audiences, not just, you know, top 40 audiences, quote unquote.
But also a major lesson that I had.
But also musically, this is very valid. I mean, you can hear trip hop influences, you can hear R&B, you can hear jazz influences.
It's just another corner of the 90s scene, really.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, it was a major lesson that I had to learn as well as a music listener, because I only listened to alternative music for a while, and then people started showing me people like Lil Wayne or, you know, eventually like commercial music just started like infiltrating my life, and I realized like I can't be a snob, basically.
And also, I guess R&B, well, quote, we're using genre labels again here, but R&B, a lot of people can say that it's just a commercial genre, which is so not true. Alternative R&B is really big at the moment with Anderson .Paak and people like that, and I would put Sade right on the end of that alternative R&B spectrum. And I mean, and musically it's also extremely valid. You cannot deny that. And also one texter actually texted in saying that this Sade was once on the playlist on BFM.
Oh, really? Really? Well,
so
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, someone texted in just now saying, check out the two Sade Villain Sade Mix mashup albums.
I was going to mention that, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Last year, someone pretty cool cleverly mixed together some MF Doom and Sade tracks and released an EP called Sade Villain after Mad Villain.
Oh, my gosh.
And also this year, someone did the same with Drake and Sade as well.
I listened to that.
Yeah, I think Sigrid played a track earlier in the, like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but anyway, we're going to play some more music. And the next track we're going to play is the second single on the record. It's called Feel No Pain. And I think you'll hear on this track the more kind of African music influences that Sade was bringing into the music on this record. There's some quite prominent African sounding drums and percussion on this particular track, and it's also very different from the more kind of slick beats that you heard on the previous track. Here you go.
Sacred, breathing hatred.
So tranquil.
She's so amazing.
You just, takes you to another place.
Yeah, yep. I actually was in another place in for a
trance.
While. Yeah, I was like, whoa. Okay, I'm doing radio. Yeah. Ba, 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 ba. Yeah.
All right, we're going to quickly move things right along. Well, the next track we're going to play was the third single off the album Kiss of a Life, it's called. And this one features a trademark of Sade tracks, the sexy sax. And the sexy sax made a comeback in the 80s. It was suddenly cool to have a sax on your record. And yes, it's probably down to that track, actually. it's pretty cool. So smooth.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
From above, he led me to you.
Aphrodite Incarnate, Sade, Kiss of Life. We're looking at her album from 1992, Love Deluxe. And yeah, we've got our last installment after this.
Love your beard, man. Coming along real nice.
Yeah, it's my new Melancholy Forever macadamia nut beard oil.
Yeah, man, I've been rubbing macadamia nut oil all over my tattoos. Keeps them so moist.
Lit AF. Have you tried rubbing lavender on them?
Nah, but have you tried these new barista socks? They've upped my latte art game so hard.
So lit, yeah. Yeah, I've heard about those. I also use them as a scrunchie to keep my cinnamon bun up nice and high.
Sorry to interrupt, guys, but there's customers waiting. Also, I thought I told you to put these beard nets on. We don't want to have the health department here again. We're getting enough shit about the cracks in the Whanganui clay ceramic latte bowls already.
Yeah, sorry, boss. Sorry.
Being a barista isn't as easy as it looks. Take yourself more seriously with Coffee Supreme.
Hey, can you hear that?
Street music, laughter, cups clinking.
It's coming from down this rabbit hole. Come on, let's go!
It's coming from K Road, dude.
Sorry, I have terrible directional hearing.
A little help? 95BFM and the K Road Business Association presents First Thursdays. Head down the rabbit hole for the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Bring your own cup for a St. Kevin's Arcade Tea Party, rummage for treasures at the Twice as Nice Market and Zine Fair, and much, much more. First Thursdays, 6 till 9pm, July 6th. Find out more at Facebook or at kroad.com.
Wonder what we should have for breakfast.
Piggy, kill the beast, cut his throat, spill his blood.
Hey, are you dreaming about cannibalism again?
What? Maybe.
You told me you were vegetarian. So gross, I'm leaving.
Wait, just one little bite, please.
Your favourite ethical vegetarian fast food joint, Lord of the Fries, is now open for breakfast. Choose from five delicious vegetarian and vegan breakfast buns, hash brown sides, or wash down with a freshly squeezed OJ. Breakfast is served at Lord of the Fries, St. Kevin's Arcade and No. 1 Queen Street.
You love music, right?
Yes, I do.
Then drive your stake into the musical landscape by voting for the 95BFM Top 10.
But how?
Text the word VOTE and your chosen band's name to 5395 or vote online at 95bfm.com/top10 before 6pm every Wednesday. Then join Pearl from 7pm as she starts counting them down. The 95BFM Top 10 with your host Pearl, Wednesday night 7 till 9 and always online at 95bfm.com.
That's right. Kia ora koutou mā, ko Geneva taku ingoa. Tō kai whakaere tēnei ata. This is Anniversary Albums with Sam Smith, and we've got our last installment. Yes.
Morena. Yes, so let's look at the reception this album received and the legacy. So it was a commercial success, as all Sade albums were during this time. It peaked at number 3 in the States. It also cracked the top 10 in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right.
Sold over 5 million copies.
Oh, yeah.
Critically, reviews were slightly mixed. I mean, those that liked the album were impressed with her vocals, obviously. I mean, how could you not be? As well as the jazz arrangements, very sophisticated arrangements. However, those that were less impressed said that the album lacked a bit of oomph compared with her previous records.
Oh, right.
But, you know, critics.
Well, they're obviously wrong.
In terms of its wider legacy, it's definitely considered one of Sade's best albums and a high point in the sophistopop genre. And with most of Sade's records remain very influential on R&B, soul and hip-hop artists throughout the 90s and even today. They were a big influence on neo-soul in the late 90s, so people like Lauryn Hill, Erykah Badu, D'Angelo. And hip-hop artists have also mentioned her and been a very influential. Kanye West, he was massively influenced by her. Big name artists like Beyonce and Drake are huge fans. And yeah, so as you can see, they've had a very strong legacy, and no doubt albums like this were quite massive. Also, just as a fashion icon, Sade is one of those amazing figures in music visually. I mean, she is a natural beauty, no doubt. Yeah, even today, she's like a 57-year-old woman and she still looks the same as she did 30 years ago. Incredible.
It's just like the angle of her eyes and her, the way it just rolls off her nose and her profile and her
huge earrings.
Dance moves.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
Then she sings and then you just kind of like stop breathing and stuff. And then, anyway, I've got a massive crush on her.
And so does your boyfriend.
Yeah, and so does my boyfriend. Yeah. So
just
it's all good.
Incidentally, following this album, the band would go on hiatus for 7 years and they wouldn't return until 2000 for a brief reunion. And then again between 2008 and 2011. They're not active at the moment, but they are still popular. And in fact, their last album in 2010 actually got nominated for a Grammy Award and went to number one as well. So it remains to be seen whether they release any more music in the future. But Sade, you can do what you want. We will wait.
Hey, and we just got a text in to round it all off.
Oh, great.
This one's from Dave. I'm 65, a long-time BFM listener. Really enjoy Sam's eclectic choices and erudite and incisive analysis thereof, especially this one.
Oh, cool. Thanks very much, Dave.
Well, I love your vocabulary.
Yeah. I try to keep things eclectic and mix up the genres each week, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So on that note, let's finish with a song, shall we?
Yes.
This is I Couldn't Love You More, which is the third track on the record. And of note, we mentioned earlier the Sade MF Doom mixtape. This is one of the tracks that was remixed on that mashup. So I recommend you checking it out. It was created by an English producer called Sean H2K11. And it's an 8-track EP called Sade Villain. Mm. And this track is on there as a mix with MF Doom.
Sick, as usual. And see you next week.
Yep. See you. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Love you, Sade.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.